We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, RotoViz listeners? It's Colm Kelly here, executive producer of RotoViz Radio and one of the co-hosts of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. I just wanted to drop by and say thank you, as always, for listening into another RotoViz Radio production. As a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a RotoViz NFL pass right now at rotoviz.com/podcast or by simply adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. That'll get you access to all of the content and tools on the RotoViz website, the best tools and content in the business for the best listeners in the business. As always, we do appreciate you listening to each and every show. And if you do have 5, 10, 15 seconds to spare, please drop a rating for today's show on your favorite podcast app. It is much appreciated. With all that said, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you have a great day. Now let's get back to the show.
Breaks a tackle, watch out! Burst of speed! Look at this freshman!
Welcome to the home of professional football, Canton, Ohio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the College to Canton podcast, the perfect show for any and every college football and NFL fan. I'm your host, Travis May, and you can find me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM and Titan Travis on Clubhouse. If you're joining us for the first time, College to Canton is a show about the journey of the best football players and prospects from their journey as a college football recruit all the way to the end of their NFL career and the discussion as to whether they should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We always talk about some fantasy football since this is a RotoViz Radio podcast, but we also make sure to dive into some real college football and NFL analysis too. And on this very special episode, I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Stefan Leco. You can find him on Twitter at @StefanLeco. He is the host of the RotoViz College Football Show, on the Devy team over at RotoViz, doing all sorts of fun things and just a really great guy to talk to. So welcome back to the show, man. I think you're basically the unofficial co-host at this point. I think you've been on the show.
It feels like it.
Yeah, you've been on, I think this is probably your 8th episode, maybe, out of like 50. So... this is a good run. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's always fun to talk football with you, man. It's really good because you bring so much data and research to your work and just logic as well. And it's just fun talking football with you. So I love joining you.
Yeah, my middle name is actually Spock. So just
there you go.
That's it. But so we, you know, when we, I don't know if for the OG College to Canton listeners, we actually kicked off this show last June with a series actually of this discussion as to the NFL university, like which college universities send the most and best and players to the NFL at different positions and fantasy relevant positions. Like we actually dedicated, we had a running back episode, wide receiver episode, and a quarterbacks and tight ends episode. But now on this special episode, I don't know, Stefan, I think you did the wide receiver one last year, didn't you?
I did the running back one with
running
you.
Back. Okay, Matt did the wide receiver. That's what it was. But so we're actually going to do the whole thing. We're going to cover every position on one show. So lots of goodness. We're not even going to mess around. We're going to jump in right away. But just to kind of recap what this is, we're looking to answer the question, who is the real NFL university? And if you follow me on Twitter at @FF_TravisM, you might already know the answer. But we're talking about in terms of fantasy production and in terms of draft capital.
capital? Like, what, like, there's several ways to measure this, but, like, you know, there's other questions like, well, since when, Travis? Because, like, it fluctuates up and down. Like, Alabama is the running back university now, but who was it 15 years ago? And so we'll get into those discussions and tackle this question: who is the real NFL university, from a few different angles, and talk about some players on those teams now that are going to put their university in good position to continue dominance as the reigning NFL university. And there's tons of schools to talk about. Really, there's probably only four or five that really are even in the conversation, but there's tons of fun debate to be had. And I'll try to limit Stefan's talking about Oregon too much, but
my God.
But we'll jump in.
You can't talk about them at all.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Let's kick. You know what? We're gonna start there. We're gonna let you cry, maybe, I guess, about the Oregon wide receivers first, and get it out of the way, and then go to the good schools. How about that?
Yeah, no, that works. No, we've talked about it so many times. Like, Oregon just does not produce NFL talent at the wide receiver position. And even, like, outside of just three or maybe four running backs, they haven't produced much at all. So these conversations don't allow us to talk about Oregon very much at all. But that's okay, because back in the heyday, I was a kind of a bandwagon Hurricane fan, so I did get to enjoy watching Miami roll, and always enjoy, like, the Miami Florida State rivalry games and stuff like that. So, like, when, like, the wide left or wide right stuff was going on, like, for, like, three or four years in a row, like, yes, I was right there living it. So
that's awesome.
So I all have some relevant stuff to talk about outside of Oregon.
Oh yeah, well, that's good. Well, let's kick it off. And I know I'm supposed to you know, like, wait to the very end to do the big reveal of, like, who the real NFL university is. But your other team, I mean, I don't even care, because, like, this is going to surprise most people, and we can break this down about how this happened. But really, when it comes to fantasy point production and real NFL production from quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, your other team that you have rooted for forever is Miami. And Miami crushes all schools. When you look back from 2000 all the way through the end of last season to 2020, like, they have been killing every single other school. Well, more than 9,000 fantasy points in terms of a lead on every other school in the country. Still, even today, even though their heyday is long since gone and their production, yes, has been fading, they still are sitting at, like, over 30,000 fantasy points from quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends since the year 2000, which is insane. Like, does that, I mean, when I say 30, it's like over 32,000 fantasy points. How many do you think, Stefan, Alabama has, per se? You know, like, because they've been dominating for, like, a decade, right?
Right.
They've got to be close, right? Like, how many do you think they have?
I'm going to say less than half of that.
You are absolutely right, sir. They've got, like, just under 15,000 fantasy points.
Yeah. The only reason I guess that, well, for one, I cheated and listened to your episode with John last week.
Yes.
But also, like, if you think about where their production has come from, like, they haven't had many elite quarterbacks.
No,
they haven't had, for the beginning of the century or millennia, whatever we call that, both,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
They hadn't had wide receivers until recently. So, like, you're talking about a handful of running backs that you're asking to carry the load. It's a big difference. And what's crazy about Miami, too, like, you talk about, like, all the positions, but they haven't had many quarterbacks contributing to these points either in this time period. No. It's all coming from those other positions. It's just wild.
Yep. I will say Alabama is trending in the direction of taking over the mantle and holding it for forever. But,
right,
but they still have a long ways to go. In fact, just last year, 2020, and this speaks to how much they've just been hitting in terms of draft capital just consistently lately. But last year, 2020, marked the second most fantasy points scored by any university since 2000. And that was Alabama. They had over 2,000 fantasy points just last year from their quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. And that looks like it's going to continue, like, especially when you add a first-round quarterback into the mix, or two, in the past 2 years. Like, it's going to start to pile up unless they completely bust and wash out, because they have all these running backs, all these wide receivers coming in, and they've had two seasons in a row now with about 2,000 fantasy points or more. So they have two top 10 all-time seasons in just the past 2 years. So I know that's fresh on everyone's mind. That's the recency bias feeding into what we think is the truth. But the truth of the matter is also that Oklahoma should be there right with Alabama as well, thanks to all their quarterbacks too. Like, that's another school I think a lot of people will say, well, what about all these quarterbacks coming in, Travis? It's true, because like they have two seasons last year and 2019, both over 1,900 fantasy points. Both of those seasons in 2019 and 2020 for Oklahoma were top 20 seasons all time by any school since the year 2000 in terms of fantasy points from all the positions that are relevant to us nerds today. So those two schools are right neck and neck, because if you look at the last two seasons, Alabama is just over 4,200 fantasy points, and Oklahoma is just over 3,800 fantasy points. And then there's a huge gap, really, from them to any other school. Even when you throw like Clemson's into the mix and other things like that, it's pretty much those two guys up there by themselves. Like Clemson is actually not even at 2,800. Like, I know a lot of people talk about their wide receivers and everything, and they'll get there, like with Trevor Lawrence and my dude DJ Uiagalelei coming through soon. But like, who else comes to mind among like the top NFL universities that people would probably throw in the hat for?
For right now, it's the schools that are crushing recruiting. Like Matt and I just dropped a podcast where we were talking about recruiting, and you know, we were talking about how like there's really been this, you know, the rich getting richer. So it's your Georgias, it's your, like you said, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State. Like, those are the teams that really come to mind, because they just keep winning the recruiting battles every single time. It feels like when one of these graduates is choosing between two schools, like, you're going to choose Penn State or Ohio State. You're going to choose Ohio State if you have the option. So you really see this kind of clustering of talent. Now, a lot of these guys might end up transferring, but.
Yeah, and Ohio State, that's an interesting one, because, like, overall, since 2000, they're actually eighth, I believe, in terms of fantasy points from all their positions. But if you look at the wide receiver production that they've just constantly churned out since the year 2000, like, that's what everyone thinks of when they think about wide receiver or Ohio State players since the year 2000. Like, who are some names that come to mind for you for Ohio State, like, just off the top of your head?
Well, I mean, just because he broke my little Oregon heart, like, from a running back spot, like Ezekiel Elliott, just, you know, that's a heartbreaker for me.
Yeah.
It was Carlos Hyde, not Zeke. Yeah. It was Carlos Hyde that gashed us to pieces. So, I think actually, like, more recently about the running backs that have come through there just in, like, the last few years, like, since Zeke and Hyde and
those guys. Ted Ginn?
Yeah, dude, Ted Ginn was awesome. I was a big Ted Ginn fan, though. Yeah.
Michael Thomas, course, though, he's not dead.
No, and even, like, a dude, like, we were talking about, like, the difference between a hit for fantasy and a hit for the NFL, but he only flashed for 1 year. But Terrell Pryor, man, remember that 1 year where he just put up, like, I think, like, I'm looking at your number here, he put up 213 points. Like, he had an awesome year that 1 year. And I think the switch to wide receiver was interesting. Maybe it would have been better to happen earlier, but you got still players in the league that could really contribute to these numbers. Like we see Curtis Samuel now being used in a more dynamic way. Now he's switching teams. He could continue to produce for quite a long time. So these, a guy like Paris Campbell,
yeah,
we can stay healthy finally.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. And even I think a bunch of guys that people forget about, like Joey Galloway was an Ohio State guy that put up points for forever back in the day. Santonio Holmes was a guy who was a huge hit for a long time. Even early 2000s, you remember Michael Jenkins?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And even the wide receivers coach, the big time recruiter for Ohio State, that's been a huge part in stacking up their wide receiver room and making them what they are today, Brian Hartline. He was an Ohio State guy who actually had one season with like over 200 PPR. So like, they've had a bunch of guys that weren't like the top, like take the top off, like just Hall of Fame types, but they've had a bunch of guys that got draft capital and a bunch of guys that contributed for a very long time. I think most recently people think about LSU, but seriously, since 2000, Ohio State has had 12 wide receivers selected in the top 100. The only school with more wide receivers taken in the top 100 picks is LSU, and that's like 14 or 15. So yeah, it's basically, when it comes to the wide receiver U debate, it starts with those two schools and then it goes down from there. But let's back up for a second and talk about the QB university debate. And we'll go down position by position and what comes to mind for you in terms of the quarterback U debate. Because we're working with some small sample sizes when it comes to quarterbacks, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's
because the good ones stick around forever.
Yeah, the good ones stick around forever. And the even the best programs don't even have 10 quarterbacks selected in the top 100 picks in the past 20 plus years. Like, in terms of draft capital, the number one school is USC, and it's actually not close. It's like they've had 4 first round quarterbacks and 7 top 100 quarterbacks overall, and they've consistently been inside the top 10 in fantasy points from the quarterback position. And basically every window that you want to look, like since 2000, fourth, since 2010, fifth, since 2015, even ninth. So they need a little boost to stay inside that top 10. But if Keaton Slovis gets drafted next year, they could get some more ammo. If Sam Darnold hits for the Panthers, they could get some more ammo and have some fantasy points, some fantasy life there. But who's the quarterback you for you right now?
More recent.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's gotta be Oklahoma. I mean, like having the back to back first round. Well, I guess with back to back first round picks, then Jalen Hurts went way earlier than everyone expected. So you've got Kyler, Baker, and Hurts all sitting there fairly recently. I mean, we're talking just like the last few years that these guys have made their entrance. I think Baker was 2018 was his first year. Mm-hmm. And then next year Kyler came in, and the next year Hurts came in. So to me, recent, like from just looking at what's taken place recently, that's the school that I'm going to look at as like QBU.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously looking back at a longer sample size, like looking back at, you know, putting more years together, it's going to be a little bit different because before those guys, I mean, you had Sam Bradford, but that was about it.
For sure. And listeners, feel free to play along with these little trivia questions as I'm going here. But where do you think Oklahoma actually ranks all time, at least since 2000, in terms of fantasy points from the quarterback position?
Oof. I mean, those guys, like I said, I don't know if there's been much. I'm going to say like 12.
12 is your answer. Final answer.
Oh, now I feel like I'm way too high. What is it?
It is 23rd. They are 23rd, actually, since the year 2000. Because what's funny about Oklahoma is that how many, even more fun question, how many fantasy points do you think were scored by Oklahoma quarterbacks in between the year 2000 and the year 2009?
So that's like pretty much
years. Full decade.
That's pretty much just Sam Bradford, though, right?
Actually, it's not even him. That predates him, barely.
I'm gonna go with like 800.
The answer 600? The actual answer is zero.
Oh my god!
And that's why they're 23rd in this like 21 year span since 2000, because they had nothing, absolutely zero, prior to basically Sam Bradford coming in.
I thought I was being hyperbolic when I said they had no one really before Sam Bradford, nope. But I was being literal and I didn't know it.
Oh yeah, quite literal. In fact, anybody in like the top 30 at least has somebody, except Oklahoma's a zero.
Wow.
And then you compare that with what they've been doing in the past 5-10 years, like bringing in first round draft picks, and even like finding a hit with Jalen Hurts, who I guess is kind of Alabama / Oklahoma, but he graduated Oklahoma, left Oklahoma. So really, if you look at Oklahoma quarterbacks in the past few years, it's basically one of the most productive spans ever. And in fact, last year in 2020, they had over 800 fantasy points scored from their quarterbacks. No other university in any year since 2000 has had that many fantasy points scored as Oklahoma did just last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So Oklahoma is clearly the reigning champion right now, but seriously, since 2000, they're still 23rd. But if you zoom in, look at since 2010, they're actually 11th. Since 2015, they're 4th. And as of next year, they'll probably since they'll probably take the lead in that since 2015 rank, unless Aaron Rodgers and Jared Goff can hold them off for just a little bit longer. And I did not mean to rhyme there, by the way, but I did. So
wait, the dude, was it Jason White? Was he the guy who won the Heisman for Oklahoma?
Yeah, I can't remember when that was.
I know he didn't get drafted. He was in the running. But I know he ended up with a team. I guess he just never even threw a pass in the NFL. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, I feel like an idiot.
No, it's funny, like, cause like I wouldn't have known that unless I had a giant spreadsheet that told me so. So I'm cheating. Like, I've got all the answers in front of me. I've got the answer sheet. But seriously, California though is the sleeper for most people, because every time I ask this question on Twitter or on a podcast or anywhere, like, I'm talking about, like, who's the quarterback you? Like, nobody is like, oh, obviously California. But when you think about it, they've had some really good production over the past several years. And from guys like basically just Aaron Rodgers, and basically, you know, you got Jared Goff and then Kyle Bowler for a hot second.
Yeah.
It's those three. But if you put those three careers together, it's quite ridiculous. It's over 6,500 fantasy points between just those three quarterbacks. So they're actually number one in fantasy points scored from the quarterback position since 2010, thanks to Mr. Rodgers himself, mainly because he had that, you know, 5 of 6 years having at least 340 fantasy points in a row. So kind of a ridiculous run. And even last year, if you look at Goff and Rodgers together, having two solid producing quarterbacks definitely buoys their production, but they had over 700 fantasy points between them last year. So California is surprisingly up there in the QBU conversation, but they've only had three like top 100 quarterbacks selected in the past 21 years. So it's kind of hard to say that they're the real quarterback U when they've only had three top 100 quarterbacks, but there's only four schools that have had more than that. Can you guess what those four schools are?
The four schools that have had more
than three top 100 quarterbacks selected since 2000.
Oklahoma.
Yep. I already gave you one earlier.
USC. Yep. I was listening.
Yeah.
Since 2000, you said?
Yep.
Oh, man. That's, I don't know if I can think of the other two.
Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon.
Billy Harrington, Mariota, and Herbert.
Yeah.
Who's the fourth?
Kellen Clemens.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Back in the day.
Oh, God. Now I'm going to go bury my head in the sand.
That's exactly why I asked you the question, too.
And then I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a random school like was there one more?
Or was there's one more. And this one's going to be funny. And this is
Missouri?
One's like, no.
Because I was thinking, like, Drew Locke and Blaine Gabbert, and I was just wondering if maybe there was a...
Actually, right, who... Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Louisville. Yeah. They got Lamar Jackson, Teddy Bridgewater, Chris Redmond, Dave Ragone, and Brian Brom. Bunch of do-nothing nobodies.
closer to the end of that 100, I'm guessing.
Yes, like pick 75, pick 88, pick 56. Yeah. And even Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater, they're barely first-round guys. And both pick 32. So, yeah, you don't think of Louisville when you think of quarterback U, but they're actually, thanks to Mr. Jackson himself, they are 13th since 2015 in terms of fantasy points from the quarterback position. And they've actually had the second most top 100 quarterbacks selected out of any school. Louisville. Seriously, since 2000. So, yeah, don't sleep on the Louisville Cardinals, apparently, when it comes to quarterbacks. So if you're looking at Malik Cunningham getting drafted and you're looking at my College of Canton rosters, you're rooting for Malik Cunningham to get some draft capital after a stellar 2021 season. But yes, but any other, before we move on to the running back U conversation, any other schools that kind of pop or think, you know, listeners will think, hey, but what about this school?
Well, I mean, you think about some of the big name guys, obviously. And I was thinking depending on if you consider Russell Wilson, Michigan or NC State, just like NC State with Russell Wilson and Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
And Jacoby Brissett and even Mike Glennon. That might be an interesting one, but that might be cheating too. But I'm a Seahawks fan, so my brain goes to Russell Wilson.
Yeah, actually, if you included Russell Wilson with Phillip Rivers and NC State, let's see, what would that do? If you put that together, they would actually be number one. in terms of fantasy points scored since 2000. But Russell Wilson did wrap up at Wisconsin, so we count him there. Because if you look at the career of Philip Rivers, you know, top five in just about every category, and Russell Wilson, that's a crazy, crazy mix-up right there. But and then you got Michigan because of Tom Brady. You got Drew Brees up there because of – or Purdue because of Drew Brees. In fact, basically –
Even Kyle Orton with Denver, and Chicago. He had a couple good years.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, number one, number two since 2000 overall – it's Michigan and Purdue. So yeah.
Oh wow.
Big 10. There you go.
That's crazy.
But it's basically just two guys and two and a half if we count Kyle Orton being the half. And then maybe 2.51 because Curtis Painter counts as 100th of a person.
So. That's true.
Plus he gave the Colts Andrew Luck by being so bad that they went 2-14. So
that's that. Right.
But you know, Boston College actually is another one that everyone forgets because Matty Ice. Is there, and nobody even remembers where he went to school. But you actually have Matt Hasselbeck in there. Tim Hasselbeck is in there for like 60 fantasy points. And Doug Flutie, the end of his career, actually. You get that in the early 2000s. But yeah, USC, NC State, Tennessee, thanks to Peyton Manning. Miami of Ohio, thanks to obviously Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. And then Auburn is up there, basically thanks Cam Newton. Delaware's up there. Thank you, Joe Flacco. Ole Miss.
Seriously.
Ole Miss is up there. Thank you, Eli Manning. Florida State. Thank you, Mr. Interceptions himself, Jameis Winston. That's basically when it comes down to really when you mix draft capital and production, it's basically you're looking at USC, California, Oklahoma. Not very many others have a ton of production and draft capital married together. But really, probably the most consistent producing school with the most capital, it's actually almost undebatably so, USC, with four first-round quarterbacks, seven inside the top 100. That's the most of any school and consistently in the top 10 every year, essentially, since the year 2000. So that's QBU. There's no debate. Sorry, we're end of discussion. But Oklahoma is probably going to take their throne and their lunch money. Shout out to Matt Bespay here soon. But running back you. Let's go that direction before we go to our sponsors here. But running back you, everyone thinks of Alabama. Some people think of Georgia and they're wrong. But who do you think of when you think of running back you?
We talked about it off the top. Like, I think Miami is going to be one that should be way up there. I think about like two of my favorite running backs, Willis McGahee and Clinton Portis.
Oh yeah,
those two dudes were just freaks. Like, man, imagine if Willis McGahee wouldn't have injured his knee in that seriously, national championship game. But, and even of course, like Frank Gore, who is going to be playing with his son pretty soon.
He's going to be playing with his grandkids here soon. Yeah. So,
even like Edgerrin James, he put up, so like you've got people, who did it earlier on in the 2000s all the way up until recently. So, we don't have a whole lot going on right now because my Seahawks keep drafting them and not using them, DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. But up until recently, there was guys producing big numbers every single year and multiple. Yeah. So Miami's got to be it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of our listeners are like, what are you talking about? Like, they haven't had anything recently besides the ghost of Frank Gore and whatever Lamar Miller was there for a hot second. But
right.
Seriously, you named like a long list of guys. I mean, Frank Gore, Edgerrin James, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Lamar Miller, Duke Johnson. You remember Najee Davenport, that dude?
That's right.
Yeah. Like, they had some guys and even other guys that just kind of blipped for a second, like even DJ Dallas, other guys down the list. But since the year 2000, it's not close in terms of production, right? It's Miami with almost 12,000 fantasy points for the running backs. And second is Alabama, but they're seriously over 3,000 fantasy points behind. And it's not even close in terms of actual production. But there's another angle, because when it comes to predicting future success, we love draft capital, right? So
yeah,
how many running backs do you think have been selected since the year 2000 for Alabama inside the top 100 picks?
Let's see. So since what year?
Since the year 2000.
I'm going to go five, six.
Inside the top 100 picks, it's 11.
Oh, top 100. I was thinking first.
Yeah, first round, you nailed it. It's five. Yeah. But seriously, 11 running backs inside the top 100. Basically, top 100 capital equates to almost exactly day two capital in most years. Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking for guys that are they're going to get inside day two capital. And Alabama kills every other school. No other school actually even has more than seven. Not even Miami in that window. They have a bunch of production and a bunch of long career guys. But if you look at first round picks, lead with five. Top 100 picks, lead with 11. Most points, most you know, fantasy points scored since 2010 and since 2015, number one and number one for Alabama. And they've just been absolutely cruising. In fact, they, in the past 2 years, they had more fantasy points than any other school ever had in terms of a two-year span outside of just Miami and Tennessee. And people are like, what? Tennessee?
Right.
Let's talk about that for a second, because you remember a guy named Jamal Lewis?
Jam Jam, man. Jam. He won me a few titles.
Dude, like he just cleaned it up for like an entire decade. He had like four seasons, like over 250 fantasy points. And then they had Arian Foster.
Dude, he was my favorite. Like, he was my favorite fantasy player for like 3 or 4 years. Arian Foster was always like, if I had an early pick, it was Arian Foster every single time. Yeah. Loved him.
Like, I think my first year of Dynasty actually was his like almost 400 fantasy point season. And so, so that was a lot of fun. But Alvin Kamara, Travis Henry, actually back in the day, Charlie Garner, even the end of his career, James Stewart, even that was more of a 90s running back. But you get the end of a bunch of really good running backs' careers showing up on their list too. But it's mainly Jamal Lewis, Arian Foster, and Alvin Kamara has been just absolutely carrying it. You know, three seasons in a row with over 250 fantasy points. And three of those had over 300 fantasy points by himself. If he was a school by himself, he would basically already be a top five or six guy in the past.
That's so crazy.
I know, it really is. And he wasn't even a round one pick either. He was a top 100 guy, but he wasn't, round one running back or anything. But it is hilarious scrolling across the pages. And I can't even see all of Frank Gore's career. Like, I have to scroll on Excel.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's like,
so
I got to zoom out. That's 16 years here. But the debate, if you want to talk about capital, if you want to talk about production, it really begins and ends with Miami versus Alabama and maybe Tennessee if you want to really get inclusive. But there's not very many schools that are in the conversation. Like, you know, the Georgia fans are still angry that I haven't even acknowledged them here. And where do you think they are since 2000 for running backs?
Since 2000?
Yep.
I'd still put them in the top 10, but I'd put them probably closer to the back end of that.
Man, it's like you've been looking at a spreadsheet or something. Like they are, they are 10th actually. Since
I was gonna guess 8th, so I would have been too high.
Yeah, but seriously, Georgia is 10th since 2000. Everyone thinks of the recent success and whatever Todd Gurley is now, but if you look at the past 3 years alone. 2018, 2019, 2020. Georgia is actually second, only behind Alabama, but they are a whopping 700 fantasy points behind Alabama in that 3 year span from 2018, 2019, and 2020. So yes, they have been running back you in our minds for a few years or so, but they're really going to have to continue that if they want to continue to climb and even get, you know, close to entering the conversation as the, you know, running back you of like all time, or, you know, even close to that conversation,
which is going to be tough considering like Gurley we don't expect much from. No. So your Sony Michel is no longer a thing, so
he's really like 40 years old already now.
Right, you're talking about Chubb and Swift compared to like all these Alabama running backs that are still producing. Like you've got like you got Josh Jacobs, you've got Kenyon Drake, obviously Derrick Henry. Who knows what Mark Ingram's going to do in Houston this year? Probably not much, but still, you're talking about 3-4 guys, and then you're adding in
Najee Harris.
Najee Harris.
Yeah.
So it's like they're not going to be able to close the gap. The gap's only going to get bigger.
No. And Alabama continues to own the running back you conversation, even from recruiting. Like, they already have the I've said this on the show a few times. They already have the number one running back next year locked up, and probably the year after that, and probably the year after that, and probably the year after that. And they have Kamar Wheaton coming in this year, and he's not even going to see the field because there's like five other future NFL running backs ahead of him.
And Trey Sanders, who was last year's number, or the year before number one, is
they've just ridiculous. Continued to own it and own it and own it. And that shows up, like you said, in recruiting all over the place. It's not even fair. Like, if you look at the college, I mean, it didn't, we just sidebar, seriously. I mean, when you look at their five stars just to Alabama in the college playoff era, they have 46 five stars. The second place actually is Georgia with 35. Like, they've, like they've got, like, seriously, like 30% plus more five stars than any other school in the nation. So, yeah, they're cleaning it up, and it's going to continue. And Georgia is just going to, you know, congrats on the silver medal. You know, for the next 5 or 6 years or 10. But they're not going to be in the running back you conversation unless Nick Chubb somehow figures out how to have 1,000 fantasy points in a season at a time. But, yeah, I think there are a couple other schools that kind of hang out there in people's minds, like Texas, because of, you know, they've had some really fun names over the years. Maybe not so much lately, but like Ricky Williams, like Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles, like even Cedric Benson. But you know, after that, the names get pretty gross.
A dude that I thought was gonna be awesome and then was injured, so that's my excuse. Was Deontay Foreman? I just thought he was gonna be special, and it just never happened.
You know, knock on wood, but I believe he's still with he was
the Titans, right?
Well, he was, but I think he's actually a free agent right now. But I think he could get brought back. I'm not sure what the deal is there, but if he somehow gets brought back with them, that would be interesting. Because he actually looked good in limited action with the Titans for a little bit, like when he had to spell Henry here and there. So who knows what'll happen? But yeah, he got the day two capital even.
I loved him.
I think a lot of people thought he was going to hit. But outside of that, there's really not a bunch of other people in the conversation. Ohio State will be a fun one, though, because they're climbing. And they have J.K. Dobbins and they have Zeke that are probably still going to produce for a little bit. Like, since 2000, Ohio State is actually 11th in fantasy points. And they have had six top 100 running backs. And they've had three first-round running backs. So they're way up there in terms of capital.
But now Trey Sermon entering is going to...
Yeah. That could
Who
be
knows how one. Soon that'll happen, but
if he hits, if he pans out, they could continue to climb and enter that conversation in terms of running back U. But in terms of capital, they're way up there. They're one of four schools with more than two first round running backs in the past 20 years. So they just need to have more of them actually pan out, and that would help. And you know, some people are like, oh, what about Oklahoma with Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, and Joe Mixon, and I dare you to name one more.
I want to now.
yeah. The truthers are like
P-Ryan.
I was gonna say that. Smash A. P-Ryan, dude. What about him?
Yeah, he had that one crazy game.
Yeah, Damian Williams. Yeah, smacked. Yeah, yeah. What about Aaron Ripkowski?
that's the name I was gonna say.
Yeah, everyone was thinking that for sure. But no, it gets pretty gross after AP. And DeMarco Murray, Joe Mixon. They're way up there in terms of points scored, but like overall capital outside the top names, they're not really there. Like Pittsburgh's up there because LeSean McCoy is going to be a Hall of Famer, and I just probably
Wisconsin had a lot
people.
Of.
I'm sorry, what?
Pretty high capital. Didn't Wisconsin have quite a few guys with high draft capital?
I was actually going to name that because they've had three first round running backs, five top 100 running backs, and they have the GOAT himself, Jonathan Taylor, still trucking and still very young. So they're actually, where do you think they are since 2000?
I would put them, that's tough. Cause I mean, I'm thinking James White, Melvin Gordon. I'm so recency biased that it's hard for me to think like compared to some of these other schools. I'm going to say like 12, 14.
15th, man. You're good at this. You're freaking good at this. You got to give yourself more credit. Cause I mean, like seriously,
I guess so.
Melvin Gordon, James White, Jonathan Taylor,
Boy, Monty Ball for a hot minute there.
Yeah, for like 5 seconds.
I actually was going to have him on my podcast, my other podcast, like my non-football podcast because he still lives out here in the area.
Oh, nice.
But it was like right before all the Black Lives Matter stuff was going on. So I was like, yeah, let's postpone. Yeah. But he's a cool dude. He's got his own show.
That's cool.
He's cleaned up his life quite a bit. He's like super active in the community now.
That's awesome.
So Monty Ball has really turned his life around after spending a little bit of time in jail and stuff. So it's a really cool story, even though he's not back in the NFL, of course. But
Very cool. Yeah, so Monte Ball, can't forget him. He actually had he did have almost 200 combined fantasy points or something. So not too crazy. But you know, Ron Dane, can't forget him. Most of his career in the early 2000s. But didn't pan out like everyone thought. He was hyped up like crazy back in the day. But yeah, Wisconsin's 15th since 2000, and they are second since 2015. Isn't that wild?
That's nuts.
Like,
yeah,
seriously, nuts. Because like in PPR, like in standard, obviously this would be a different story because James White.
Yeah, James White, you're out. Yeah, he carries it.
I mean, it's basically it's Mr. White himself. Like, but since 2000, it's just silly looking at how much just Alabama crushes everyone. Since 2015, Alabama has almost 4,500 fantasy points from running backs. That's in six seasons. Nuts. Almost 4,500 fantasy points just from running backs. Second is Wisconsin, and they are 1,500 fantasy points behind. There's just nobody, nothing. Like Oklahoma's up there still.
I would have guessed Florida State with Devonta Freeman and Dalvin Cook. I would have thought they'd be pretty high up there too. But
they're fourth since 2015.
Okay, yeah.
They've got Devonta Freeman. They've got Dalvin Cook. They had, Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson when he's healthy. And obviously, Cam Akers, everyone has already decided that he's going to be a Hall of Famer now. So,
that's right.
Yeah. So he could keep them propped up there for a while as well. But when it comes to capital and production, it really comes down to Miami, Alabama, and no one else. And, you know, a few people that might enter into the conversation here soon, but that's really, really it. LSU, another honorable mention. Just because they've been like top 10 forever, hanging around with enough guys that were relevant for a very long time. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire does something. Who knows? I'm downplaying his last year way too much. He started off with a bang, but we've had some good players. I mean, that Kevin Fault guy was okay. Joseph Addai, Leonard Fournette, Jeremy Hill for like 5 seconds there. Stephen Ridley.
I thought he was going to be the best forever.
Yeah. Yeah. They've had a bunch of guys that were good enough to stick around on rosters for a long time. So LSU kind of keeps them propped up. Penn State on Capitol is at least in the conversation. But it just comes down to Miami being number one since 2000. Still a top 10 team even today. And Alabama. But Miami is probably going to drop down unless they do something different. Start winning some more recruiting and winning some more games. Because they can only live off the mid-2000s for so long. But right. Before we wrap up with some wide receiver and tight end talk, just a word from our sponsors.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, just want to take a moment to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle is created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to the community Discord, an e-learning course full of tips and tricks, and on top of all of that, we'll help get your show pushed to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or you have an existing show that you're wanting to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode for more information, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
All right, so we've talked about quarterbacks and the quarterback university, and that being USC, running back university, that being really down to just Alabama and Miami. The real, you know, NFL university since 2000 is Miami by far in terms of capital and production, but they are fading quickly. But another position that they continually find ways to dominate in terms of NFL production and capital is the tight end position. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there just because tight ends are boring for most people. I could talk about tight ends for a very long time, but I'm not going to do that to the listeners. I just won't. But Miami, obviously the number one. I mean, you're a Miami fan. You can probably name all the big ones that people are going to remember, right?
Ooh, I mean, Jimmy Graham, Greg Olsen, Winslow.
Yeah, Kellen Winslow.
I'm forgetting the dude who played for the Giants.
Jeremy Shockey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeremy Shockey. Now, dude, he was fun. And then Njoku too.
Yes. But do you remember Bubba Franks?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was early 2000s. A lot of people probably don't remember him, but he actually stuck. Chris Herndon makes the list for everyone.
Oh, right.
He's still going to hit apparently.
Yeah. Oh no. He's definitely going to hit. I've got a couple shares. I'm getting excited.
And I still, every time I watch the NFL Combine and tight ends running the 40s, I'm expecting them to all look like Clive Walford. If you haven't seen Clive Walford run the 40 at the NFL Combine, you need to pause the podcast or finish it and then just Google Clive Walford running the 40. It is the goofiest looking thing I think I've ever seen ever. He just bobs his head like he's a bobblehead as he's running the 40. It is the most That's bizarre fantastic. Thing. But, you know, yeah, they've had a bunch of guys that have gotten capital over the years. If you look at their production and their tight end, first round capital, like it's a ton over the years. So year after year, they just continually find ways to get guys drafted. Seriously, 5 first round tight ends since the year 2000. Crazy. 8 top 100. No other school has more than 6 top 100 tight ends. No other school has more than 3 first round tight ends since the year 2000. Miami is just, it begins and ends with Miami when it comes to the tight end view discussion. But people want to throw in other names there because of Iowa for obvious reasons.
I was going to say Iowa, yeah.
Yeah, because you can go on the list there too, right? I mean, just off the top of your head, you can probably name at least 2 or 3 guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, recently you've got, of course, Hawkinson, Noah Fant, Kittle. I can't think of any more, though.
Dallas Clark, man.
Number 44, baby.
Whew, that dude had almost 1,500 fantasy points career. Like that guy.
I didn't remember that he went to Iowa. That is, man, that is a really strong group of tight ends right there.
Quick question. Who has more fantasy points career? Scott Chandler, Brandon Myers, Noah Fant, or TJ Hawkinson?
Scott Chandler. I don't know.
Absolutely. Scott Chandler. Oh. Iowa tight end. Then he played for the Patriots for a hot second. But he has more fantasy points still because he had a longer career. But
yeah,
it's just funny. Like they've had a bunch of guys that stuck around. Like even like Tony Moyaki, CJ Fedorowicz, people liked for a second. They've had a bunch of good guys over the years. Iowa is a name that gets thrown in, and they are second in fantasy points. And they're the only other school with at least 3 first-round tight ends selected since the year 2000, and they've had a few recently. So they continue to find ways to rack up fantasy points, get people drafted early. Stanford, a lot of people throw out there because of, you know, Zach Ertz, Kobe Fleener, even Austin Hooper, you know, and Dalton Schultz, actually. You know, people forget about him.
Oh, wow,
yeah. And he actually had a good year last year. Yeah. So who knows what that's going to look like next year with Jarwin back in the mix. But Jason Witten basically buoys Tennessee.
What does Witten do with Tennessee just for, playing for 19 years?
The 20-year veteran or whatever, almost 3,000 fantasy points by himself. Wow. If Mr. Witten was a school by himself, he would be a top 10 program in terms of tight end production. It's just insane. So
I definitely could not name one other Tennessee tight end. So
no, and I won't because the podcast doesn't deserve it. Notre Dame has some tight ends that could be interesting and have been interesting over the years. Like they had Kyle Rudolph, Tyler Eifert. Everyone wanted to be a thing. Cole Kmet. We'll see what happens with him. They've got a fun Michael Mayer is in the pipeline. He could come out and do something. But
Tommy Tremble.
Yeah, those are all, you know,
that's a late round pick.
And thanks to Travis Kelce, you know, and Brent Celek, surprisingly.
Brent Celek.
Yeah, remember that guy? Man. Yeah, Cincinnati's up there, but there's not very many schools that are even in the conversation. Is there anybody else that we didn't hit up, or should we just go to talk about wide receivers?
Let's talk wide receivers.
Let's do it. Wide receivers, who's the wide receiver for you? We kind of hinted at it earlier, but who's the number one school, do you think, in terms of fantasy points since the year 2000?
Since the year 2000, I mean, I would still think it would be, I want to say Miami again, just because that seems like the cheat answer for everything. But I mean, LSU would be the other one that I would put up there, but that's just being too much recency.
It's Ohio State is number one. LSU number two. Miami is number three.
That's going to be so
that is the cheating
mad.
Answer though. Like it is because if anything when it comes to NFL production or capital is Miami in there? Yes, they are.
Yeah. Well, you think about the receivers that Miami had, like Andre Johnson forever was just beast. Reggie Wayne was incredible. Alan Hearns more recently. I mean, he never blew the top off. He's just a consistent producer. So there's a Santana Moss forever. Oh man, Miami had some fun receivers.
Seriously, just Reggie Wayne, that dude, another guy that almost had 3,000 fantasy points by himself. Andre Johnson, almost 3,000 fantasy points by himself. Santana Moss, over 2,000 by himself. Alan Hurdens is actually fourth since 2000 for the program with over 700 fantasy points. People forget Devin freaking Hester, that guy.
That's right.
I mean, and even a bunch of role players, deep threat guys. Like Miami's had a lot of speedsters, like Travis Benjamin, Philip Dorsett, Roscoe Parrish, Leonard Hankerson.
Oh, right. I thought Roscoe was going to be a beast.
Yeah. Like guys that, you know, they splashed here and there. They were, if there were a bunch of football podcasts back in the day, it would be like, oh, that guy's great for best ball. Like that.
Right. That's exactly right.
Like that's what everyone would, that would be the go-to for half of Miami's wide receivers since the year 2000. But they've just had some ballers for years.
Yeah.
And they are third. But seriously, LSU, I mean, they have to be. When you mix in capital, more than a dozen top 100 wide receivers, a half dozen first round wide receivers, second in fantasy points scored since 2000, first since 2010, and second since 2015. It's like them, Ohio State, and everyone wants to say Alabama is it, right? Because of what we've seen here recently. But where do you think Alabama ranks in wide receiver production? I may have already given this away on the last podcast, but it's since 2000.
Yeah, you did talk about this with John, and I don't remember the number, but it was low. It was shockingly low.
It's 21st since 2000, because it was nothing before Julio. They seriously had 100 fantasy. I mentioned this before, but 100 fantasy points scored before Julio came in the league, in between 2000 and 2010. So they have absolutely smashed. And in the recent years, they seriously had over 1,000 fantasy points scored just by wide receivers last year alone. That is third most fantasy points scored by any school since 2000, from their wide receivers in any given year. And Miami and LSU are the only two schools with a higher season. LSU had a big 2014. I think you may remember OBJ's rookie year. I think that was okay. Yeah, and that was
also Jarvis Landry's.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah, that was also Jarvis Landry's rookie year. But seriously, that was actually the number one season ever scored by any program altogether. Can you remember the third and fourth most scoring wide receivers for the program in that season from LSU?
Oof, no, I definitely cannot.
2014? Or even the guys. Yeah, so it was 2014, and they actually had five guys with at least 140 fantasy points.
Oh my gosh.
That would be a fun trivia question. Which five LSU wide receivers had more than 140 fantasy points in 2014? Wow, Travis, you're really getting specific here. It's actually,
I don't know the answer. I gave you Landry. That was the extent of my knowledge on that one. Who is it?
Number one is obviously Odell Beckham Jr., but the number two fantasy point scorer for the program that year was actually Mr. Brandon LaFell.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, seriously, Brandon LaFell. And then third actually was Jarvis Landry. Fourth was Mr. Reuben Randall.
Okay.
And fifth was actually,
I forgot that he went to LSU.
Yeah. And fifth was actually Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Remember that guy?
Wow.
Kansas City Chiefs, went to the Browns and disappeared. Oh, man. That was ridiculous. But they've had so many good wide receivers over the years. Even like those, again, he's better than best ball, guys. Like Eddie Kinnison, Devery Henderson. That was a good one. Back in the day, like even like Michael Clayton had that splash of a start to a career and then disappeared. But now it's just dumb. Like they have, DJ Chark still doing good things. And now with Trevor Lawrence, who knows how good he's going to be. So,
right. And then you've got Justin Jefferson, obviously. Even like Russell Gage, now that Julio has moved on, like, is he their number two? I mean, Kyle Pitts is their number two, but like Russell Gage could have a huge year this year. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, but how have I not mentioned Clemson yet in the wide receiver U debate? Every Clemson fan probably already tuned out because they're so mad.
Right.
But because they have actually been number one since 2017. In fact, those past 4 years, they've had at least 840 combined fantasy points every single season. Like that's the best 4 year stretch for any program ever. So yeah,
and imagine if Martavis Bryant was still around.
Oh man. Yeah. If Martavis Bryant was actually still doing things, like, man, he was so good. Everyone thought he was just going to smash, and then he just couldn't get it all together ever again.
Yeah.
But if you look at the last 4 years combined, it is actually Clemson, not Alabama, in first. They actually have more than 500 more fantasy points in the past four seasons than Alabama. So everyone wants to say it's Alabama, but Clemson is still right there. And if you narrow it down to just the past 3 years, again, still Clemson with a 150 fantasy point lead. So Clemson's right there. And the way that they're recruiting wide receiver, they still have a mess of wide receivers that could get drafted, that one or two should pop this year with DJ Uyunglele. Yep. Even Amari Rodgers, I wasn't super high on him, but he got capital this year. So Clemson continually gets guys drafted over and over and over. But only four programs, though, have had 10 or more wide receivers drafted in the top 100 picks. Who do you think those four schools are? I already gave you two of them, LSU, Ohio State, but who are the other two?
In the top 100?
Yep, top 100 picks, wide receivers since the year 2000.
Is Clemson one of them?
It is not Clemson, but they're kind of close. Have they had three? Oh, yeah, they've had like six.
But, oh, what number did you say? I thought you said how many?
Oh, 10.
Oh, 10. Yeah, yes. Okay. Is USC on there?
It is USC.
Okay. And then the last one?
The last one's probably going to get you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Florida. Because they basically...
Oh, yeah, that makes
they
sense.
They had like six or seven guys all in the early 2000s, and then they had a super cold streak. They had like Percy Harvin and Andre Caldwell right before that. But really super cold streak until like Van Jefferson last year, and then Kadarius Toney. Yeah. They actually had like 4 years in a row where they had like no production at all, hardly at all, from any wide receivers. But they're way up there in production as well. They have been fourth actually since the year 2000, But since 2010, they're only 14th. And since 2015, they're actually 33rd. So Florida's dropping off real quick. Kadarius Toney and Van Jefferson are their best bets. Basically, two of the worst analytical profiles of all time at wide receiver.
Don't forget about Seattle's own Freddie Swain.
Oh my gosh. Come on, dude. The Seattle Seahawks. And your fandom confuses me, but it's great.
It's because I grew up in Africa, man.
Yeah. And then earlier today, you were watching the Netherlands in soccer. So yep. Just to confuse our listeners even more with no context or answer or explanation, let's continue. But seriously, the wide receiver is just, it's been crazy over the years. It's Ohio State, LSU, Miami, Florida, USC, Florida State, and Georgia actually way up there over the years. Georgia's really dropped off. Recently, except Mecole Hardman's gonna be the answer to everyone's prayer. Apparently, Florida State has really dropped off. Like they only had like 29 fantasy points scored last year from wide receivers.
Wow,
yeah, really bad. But I mean, it's basically in the future. It looks like it's gonna be between Clemson, Alabama. How have I not mentioned Oklahoma? Right, with Mr. CeeDee Lamb. Like they've done really good things. Right over the years, right? I mean, surely they're way up there. You would think.
But, yeah, I mean, outside of because Marquise Brown, I don't think we've been too impressed with. Sterling Shepard, same thing. Like, I don't know. I think that we're hoping that this next batch, because like their receiver room right now is insane, and they're recruiting, like they've got two of the top six wide receivers in this upcoming class. Like they're just going nuts right now. So I think they might start closing the gap on a lot of these other schools, but they don't have a whole lot going on right now.
Got another answer with a predictable, or another question with a predictable answer here for you. Oklahoma, how many fantasy points were scored for Oklahoma wide receivers in the NFL in between the years 2000 and 2004? So a 5-year span.
184.
Zero.
There's no quarterback, so there's probably not much in the receiver.
Seriously, zero again. Seriously, they had like nothing for a long time, but they had a really big gap in like the early 2010s. But yeah, lately they are on fire, and with CeeDee Lamb coming on strong here lately, if he actually hits out like we think his profile can, he might be enough to be that generational guy that carries them for a very long time. Because if you look at like the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years, Oklahoma is actually seventh in terms of fantasy points scored. But if you zoom in even farther and just go like we just did with Alabama and Clemson with just the last 3 years of wide receiver production, nope, they're still seventh. Just kidding. But they're still like they're rising. They've had over 500 fantasy points in the last 3 years consistently each year. So they're getting there. But they're still not in the league with Alabama and Clemson. Their wide receiver room right now is insane, but they're going to need probably more than CeeDee Lamb even just to really get them over the hump, considering how many studs Alabama has at the wide receiver position right now. And Clemson still, at the end of the career of DeAndre Hopkins, still getting random fantasy points from Hunter Renfro. Yeah, they've had a bunch of guys that have produced over the years. So if you had to say who's going to be between Clemson, between Miami, between LSU, between Ohio State, between Alabama, who would be your bet to be the wide receiver you that we think is right now, 5 years from now, is going to be the wide receiver you?
From 2010 to 2026? From 2000 to 2020? Like,
2010 to like 2026 or something. 5 years from now, who are you thinking is going to be number one?
I mean, I would put it with, that's tough. I'd probably still go Ohio State. They still have so many great players in, and they are also recruiting at just an unreal level right now, so it's hard to imagine that really going. But it's hard to say. But Alabama and Clemson are doing the same thing, so that's a really hard one. And I think kind of an underrated one would also be USC. They've gotten some players drafted recently, and they've got some good guys in the NFL right now too. I think Juju, people don't realize how young he is. People who listen to your show, I'm sure do. Yeah. But Juju's still super super young. You've got Robert Woods, who's producing at an unbelievable level. Michael Pittman, and now we've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Drake London coming next year, Brew McCoy the year after that, they could be really exciting too moving forward. And it's hard for me to talk positively about USC.
I'm sure it is, being a guy that roots for Oregon. But seriously, USC's way up there over the years. Like, they had Keyshawn Johnson in the early 2000s. Like, that's that right. was a heck of a career. Johnny Morton, Curtis Conway. Like, they had a bunch of early 2000s guys that were super productive. But the sixth most productive USC wide receiver in the last 20 years is Mr. Nelson Agholor.
Wow.
We give him crap all the time, but that dude has three seasons over 160 fantasy points. So
that's crazy.
USC has had a bunch of guys like that that kind of had, you know, okay spurts here and there. Like, even Marquise Lee was okay for a bit. The bad Steve Smith was good for a while. Even the bad Mike Williams was good for a while. You know, guys that, you know, were a blip on somebody's radar for a while. They had a bunch of those. They had a bunch of guys get drafted. It's hard for me to bet on them moving forward, but I think I would probably, even over Alabama, I would probably bet LSU is going to be the wide receiver even more clearly over Ohio State. Ohio State is going to have Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave come in, and that's
Terry
great.
McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin, yeah, and that's great. They've got a young, solid core there, but LSU still has so many. Like, they just, yeah. I mean, Jarvis Landry, and even whatever happens with Odell Beckham Jr., but DJ Chark, Russell Gage, Justin Jefferson. How did I list Justin Jefferson fifth there? Justin Jefferson seriously just smashing in his first year. And, like, I mean, I was on record as being higher on Justin Jefferson than I was Jamar Chase back in the day. And it may still be the case, but having Jamar Chase coming in and Terrace Marshall coming in, and now they have, I mean, maybe the number one wide receiver for the class of 2023 in Kayshon Boutte. They continue to recruit at a ridiculously high level.
Yeah.
And they already have a bunch of guys doing it. So it's going to be really tough for any school to dethrone in terms of production, LSU or Ohio State, in the coming years, because Alabama, yes, they are rising, and since 2015, they're actually third, and they've got a bunch of bodies in the NFL too. But so do LSU, so do Ohio State, and they've been doing it longer. So it's going to be a long time before Alabama ever catches up to these guys. Because seriously, since 2000, Alabama is like half of what they've done.
And we were talking about it too, like Ruggs is not in a great position right now. And
no.
Jerry Jeudy might be stuck with Drew Lock for a couple more years. Like, it's going to be hard for the guys that got drafted high last year to really be producing. Like, the two of them combined aren't going to probably put up what our boy Justin Jefferson did.
And as much as the mock drafters want to argue with this, we're probably actually going to have a little bit of a break in terms of dominant performance and early draft capital for Alabama wide receivers. I don't think John Metchie is even going to get, he's not, I don't think he's going to be a first round pick next year. He might not even be a day two pick next year when it's all said and done. And then the rest of that wide receiver room that's coming in and super stacked, as they're all freshmen. So we might have 2 or 3 years. We've seen a bunch of first rounders, and we might see none for a little bit from Alabama. So that could really change the stakes here moving forward. But they continue to kill it in recruiting. So they're going to keep stacking up. They're going to be higher than 21st. In a few years from now. But being a near zero for like 10 years really hurt them. So they'll definitely climb up the ranks, and they're continuing to do so. But it looks like they may be the NFL university here very soon, because they have just dominated the past decade. If you zoom in again, just in the last 10 years, it's really easy to see how quickly they're rising. Because basically pre-Nick Saban, they were almost nothing. They had like no quarterbacks. They had some running backs in there. Back in the day, they had like Sean Alexander. But since 2010, Alabama is still, even amidst all this dominance, they're actually still fifth in terms of fantasy points. When you throw in all of the positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, since 2010. Who do you think the four schools are ahead of them in the past 10 years?
For everything?
Everything.
Oh,
what's the safe answer?
Man. What? What's Miami. The safe answer?
Yes. Miami. Yes.
Ohio State?
No. Ohio State is actually, since 2010, they're eighth overall.
Oh, wow.
Thanks to their quarterbacks being awful.
What about quarterbacks? Oh, stupid quarterbacks. What about Clemson?
Clemson is...
they haven't had many running backs in that time, so...
Clemson is actually ninth. They're up there thanks to their wide receivers.
Yeah, and I was thinking Deshaun Watson.
Yep, Deshaun. And they'll continue to rise as well if their quarterbacks keep churning out like they are. With Deshaun, if he actually comes back and does something, Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei, they'll definitely be up there for a long time. It's actually California is number one since
2010. I was going to say Cal because we were talking about them earlier quarterbacks. With Aaron.
Yeah, and they've got guys like Keenan Allen and Marvin Jones still kicking around doing some stuff. And then, of course, they had Marshawn Lynch that just lit it up for a long time there. But Miami, Oklahoma, Georgia. There you go, Georgia.
I wouldn't have gotten something. Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, Georgia is interesting because when you look at their players that have panned out, I think you just have to think about who those players are. Like, you got to think about, Matt Stafford. Yeah. AJ Green basically played for that entire span, almost 2,000 fantasy points. Todd Gurley, over 1,500 fantasy points. Benjamin Watson played for that entire span, over 900 fantasy points. No Sean Moreno, Nick Chubb, Mr. Chris Conley, seventh for Georgia, surprisingly, in that span.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the dude that everyone writes off and says is awful has over 500 fantasy points career. So
that's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Sony Michel, he's probably already pretty much done. But Hines Ward actually snuck in a little bit there.
Oh,
they've,
wow.
They've had a bunch of guys that have been productive.
Yeah.
Not crazy ceiling guys, but they have their list of guys that have been fantasy contributors is almost 30 people long. So DeAndre Swift obviously should.
That'll help.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift will definitely help. But yeah, man, NFL University debate. It's tough. Like, number one, we already did this with wide receiver. Final question. Who do you think outside of Miami is, and outside of even Alabama, because that's too easy, who do you think could be the dark horse to be the NFL University 5 years from now that we're talking about? Oh, we should have all seen that coming.
I would say Oklahoma just because of the number of quarterbacks that they have. And then you mix in the, you know, the wide receivers that they're going to be producing and already have out there. But then as I say that, I'm thinking about your LSU wide receivers and I'm thinking maybe that's the right answer. I mean, like LSU, you've also got Burrow. Maybe I'm changing it to LSU.
I think that's a really safe bet with all they're doing. But you think about, I think they still have CeeDee Lamb, they still have Hollywood Brown, they still have Mark Andrews, they still have Joe Mixon. Even like what happens, I don't know what happens with Sterling Shepard moving forward, but they've got a bunch of guys that will be in the NFL still for a little bit, and then a bunch of quarterbacks that they're going to be in this conversation for quite some time, and especially if they have a few more wide receiver hits as well. That would be more sneaky, I think, than an LSU. But really, when it just comes down to recruiting, and you talked about it before, and you talked about it on the show with Spay, it just comes down to recruiting. There's not going to be anybody in this conversation that's not Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Oklahoma, Clemson. Nobody else is going to be in the debate. Like, there's not going to be any name that gets up in there. The only other school that might be a fun little sleeper, I think, might be Notre Dame, just because of what they continue to do from a recruiting standpoint. And with the playoff being what it is, it'll be interesting to me if they're incentivized to join a division, you know, and actually because of how the...
And to get that bye.
Yeah, getting a bye and being one of the early playoff teams. But they've already got a bunch of players that have been producers for a long time. If Will Fuller ever stays healthy for a second, Chase Claypool, a lot of people want to get excited about him. But they've got a couple of fun names that are coming in. Even Kyren Williams.
Ian Book.
Ian Book. Yes. Yes, that's definitely going to happen. And plus, my dude Tyler Buchner, when he comes in, he's going to be averaging like 400 fantasy points per season easy. So, that could be a fun one to talk about 5 years from now. That's kind of a super sleeper. But any other guys that you want to kind of talk like just mention or sleeper universities for different positions? Like, I think you had like one or two on the show sheet that might change some things.
I was just thinking like Ole Miss right now is kind of turning into like a wide receiver, like just some of the guys that, like, obviously Elijah Moore, but you've got like DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. So, you know, they're turning out some really, really exciting wide receivers. So, like, I'm curious what they'll look like. And with Lane Kiffin running the show there now, throwing the ball all over the field, like they could become pretty exciting. And then, yeah, and then some of the
other guys, like
group of five. I'm sorry, what was that?
No, go for it.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, some of the group of five schools that, like, you know, you and John were talking about how, you know, it's best to avoid group of five schools. But I was thinking about, like, a school like Memphis that's been able to produce some pretty exciting running backs. But so wondering if, you know, they might be like an exception that's like, well, he went to Memphis, so maybe it's a little bit of a different.
Yeah.
Just looking forward, like when we're looking at our prospecting models and stuff like that. But Ole Miss was the big one that I'm curious to see what they can do in the next couple of years, because they could make a pretty significant jump from a wide receiver spot.
We probably had a couple people screaming at us for not, you know, throwing their name in the hat with wide receiver U, just because AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, now Elijah Moore. So yeah, they've been coming on strong, having a bunch of productive guys here lately. But they've not been productive in terms of overall production for several years. Like, even if you look at, like, the last, you know, 5 years, it's not great. Like, they're 14th for wide receiver production. Like, if you zoom way in and, like, just look at the span in which we saw DK Metcalf and AJ Brown produce, they actually get up to 11th, you know? So they're getting there. But Elijah Moore, that's the key. Getting two, not two, but like three really productive guys in the league for a long time. Then you start really climbing up the wide receiver U boards. But that's a great one. Another one that I think you actually had on the show sheet too, I do just want to mention North Carolina. Like, what do you think about their outlook to really climb the charts in the coming years?
Yeah, I mean, their recruiting has been a lot better of late. They've got some exciting players that are entering the NFL. I mean, they just put two running backs in with pretty good draft capital. I mean, Carter didn't go as high as maybe some of us were hoping, but he was still, as far as the number of running backs that went before him, was a very short list. So I think they could be really exciting too. You've got Sam Howell. This May kid could be really, really good too, if he pans out. And yeah, I think they could be really exciting. I think they're definitely beginning to become a more relevant team than they had been for a while here.
Seriously, yeah. They're 30th since the year 2000, but they've never actually had fewer than 250 fantasy points scored in a single season in the NFL. They've never had a down, like really down season. A few years ago, they actually had 700 thanks to mostly Gio Bernard. But having Javonte Williams and Dyami Brown come in, and then you got Sam Howell coming in next year as a potential top 10 pick, they could really start flying up the boards, because if you look ahead of them, they've got four or five teams that are all within 1,500 fantasy points of them. So they could really rise into the QBU discussion if they continue to amp up their recruiting as well. That's definitely a dark horse to keep an eye on. But glad you included those, because I was going to definitely forget about that one, because it's like they aren't obvious. You know, those are the ones that we want to kind of predict the future on. I'd say North Carolina could be that program. They kind of really rises. And Ole Miss could be the same thanks to Lane Kiffin, especially if we see even some running backs start to hit, or Matt Corral starts to hit. That could be a lot of fun just to see these programs continue to rise. But that's all the time we have for on NFL University on the College Again podcast. But anything else you want to plug that you're excited about? Anything you're working on upcoming, Stefan?
Well, we're doing our podcast over with RotoViz, of course. Matt and I doing really focusing on the college side of stuff. So I've done a couple of educational ones where we just kind of break down what DFS is. We're going to talk about we do a lot of betting on the show as well. So we're going to talk about key numbers coming up here pretty soon. But then also I'll be writing some more articles over at RotoViz. Travis and I are looking at doing some conference breakdowns and stuff like that from relevant players. So be looking for those in the upcoming weeks and months. And just plugging away, man. Right now, I'm watching a lot of soccer. So
nice. Awesome. Well, appreciate you coming on. And listeners, sorry, I took a week off there. I was actually on vacation with my lovely wife. And we are expecting a child. So took a little baby moon. And so really excited about that. I look forward to you guys joining me for many more episodes of the College to Canton podcast.
Whoa. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.